Hi, my name's Ollie, known as Far Too Loud, producer of Electro House and other sorts of bass music. And I'm here for Music Tech Mag, and I'm going to show you a little about sort of producing drum sounds and bass sounds, which is one of the things that a lot of people comment on and say about my music. So I've taken the track, it's from my latest EP on Funkatech Records called the Firestorm EP, and this track is called 600 Years. It's a sort of 110 BPM Moombahcore track, so quite aggressive bassline, funky style. And I'm just going to show you a bit about the drums and bass that I've used in this track. So here's a little play of what it sounds like. So you can hear the rest of the track on my SoundCloud or whatever, but the bits I want to talk about are all contained in what I played you just there. The first thing I want to talk about is the kick drum and the approach I often use for kick drums. My main tool for drums is Native Instruments Battery, and I like to load up lots of different drum samples in here and then play about with different ones and find which ones sound good. Also in Battery, it's got a bunch of processing in there you can use. So in the effects section here, it's got some bit crushing, saturator, and EQ. I tend to use the EQ on the drum sounds in Battery quite a lot, mostly to filter out unwanted frequencies. And so for example, what I've got for my kick drum here is I've got a kick drum sample, and I've used the filter in Battery to take out all the low end. So I've got the mid-range and the click of the kick drum. The reason I've done that is because the low end of my kick drum is going to come from another plugin, which I've been using for a while, called Bassism, from Intelligent Sounds and Music. And this plugin basically generates a kick drum from a sine wave, and you can change various parameters. I think there's a famous online tutorial from Infected Mushroom which talks about designing a kick drum from a sine wave in SoundForge or something, and then this plugin was based on that tutorial. I like this plugin because you can really have control over the low end of the kick drum, and in a track like this where the bass line is sort of really the thing that I want to come through, I can control the kick drum here and make it very short and control the frequency of it. So let's just have a look. It tells you up here in the plugin the total length of the kick drum sample, which is 93.8 milliseconds, it says there. In sort of electro house music that I produce, 128 BPM music, I'll generally have the kick drum longer and more booming, generally somewhere in the region of 220 milliseconds, which is around half the beat at 128 BPM. So you can see this is considerably shorter, the kick drum tail in this track. And also in an electro house track, I might have a deeper kick drum somewhere around 45 hertz or something like that. This one I've set the end frequency to be 65 hertz, which happens to be around the note C, and this track is in F, so I like to set my kick drums either to the root note of the key of the track, or to set them to some related note, like a fifth generally. So this is a fifth above the root note of the track. And then you can set various other parameters just to tailor the sound of the kick drum. And I've got a sub in here as well, which I find using the sub and whacking it right up and comparing kick drums really gives you a good feeling of what the low end of the kick drum sounds like. And so on the output of the Bassism plugin, I've got an EQ here, and again this is, you know, just listening to the sub and playing around with the various EQ parameters. I came up with a kick drum low end that I like, so I've got this layered with the top kick drum sample coming from Battery, and then they go to a group together. And on the group, I've got an EQ just taking out some of the middle around 800 hertz, which is something I'll do a lot on kick drums, that 800 hertz region sometimes, just ducking out there. And then the Shack Audio Transient Shaper, which normally I'll just use the attack, turn the attack up a bit, and then turn the drive up a bit give it a bit more attack, basically. Snare drums. Kind of popular at the moment in dubstep and this kind of bass music is starting off with a 909 snare sample. So again, in battery, I've got something like that loaded up here. And again, I've used the filter in battery to take off the high-end frequency. So it's really the sort of the thump of the snare drum, that sort of 200 hertz region that I want out of that 909. And then I've got some other let's just have a look. I've got some other samples playing, which fill out the higher frequency range of the snare drum. Things that have got a really nice transient attack on them. So I've picked out two samples. A nice mid-range, and this one is just you've used the battery filter again to scoop out all the frequencies apart from the very high end. It just gives a little bit more high end energy to the snare drum. So that's the main snare drum sound there, and then that's on the snare channel, just using an EQ to take out any low end from the samples, and again using the Shack Audio Transient Shaper just to shape the attack and release of the snare, and using the drive control as well, because then that squashes the transient and gets it sounding nice and loud. And then added to that, I've got a little tail on the snare as well. Just on its own, it sounds like that. It's sort of a high-end tail, and that's coming from a battery as well. And you can see in battery here, I've taken a clap or snare drum sample or something like that, and increased the attack on the envelope so that it doesn't interfere with the transient of the snare drum, but it gives it a nice sort of high frequency tail.
Is that all you have to do?
And then I've got another tail on the snare drum as well. Instead of sort of adding a big reverb to the snare drum, I decided to use microtonic to make this sort of noise tail, which is being shaped with a filter or EQ. Microtonic is my sort of go-to plugin for synthesized drum sounds, really. And I've just used its noise generator with a filter on it, which quite nicely you can set the filters on here to coincide with musical notes. So I've probably set that to an F and just shape the envelope, and then combine that with the snare drum samples coming from battery. It gives a really nice big sound with a really nice decay. So bass sounds, I just want to look at the main bass sound in this track, which is this sort of growling Moombahcore style bass here. So I'll start all of my bass sounds in Native Instruments Core, and I sort of have a standard setup that I start with, which basically is a blank channel in Core. And then another channel with this warm sub instrument on it, which is literally an instance of Massive, with the sine triangle waveform selected, set half with the wavetable position halfway, and then a bit of drive and a little bit of EQ on here as well, and I'll just use this EQ to control the harmonics from the tube drive and from the waveform. But that generally gives me a nice fat sub to start off with. And then the approach I'll take to the top bass sound will generally be a synthesizer, and I'll get some sort of nice fat sounding waveform, and then it'll go through some kind of filtering, then some kind of distortion, generally involving guitar cabinets or something like Guitar Rig or Trash I use a lot, because I like the sort of resonant sounds of the guitar cabinets, and then some EQ to tame the resonances from the guitar cabinet. So this sound, using FM8, which is a favourite of mine at the moment. Now, if we have a look here, you can see it's quite a sort of simply one oscillator being modulated by another. But then, in the modulation page, the amplitude of the modulator is being controlled by an envelope which is mapped to velocity, so I can play different velocities on the keyboard, and the growl can be slow or fast like that. Modulated oscillator is running through a filter which also has an envelope applied to it. So as well as the sort of amount of frequency modulation, there's a filter cutoff being modulated at the same time by an envelope, which again, the speed of the envelope is controlled by the velocity. And those two things combined give a nice sort of growl to it. And then in FM8 as well, I've just put a bit of distortion, used the FM8 overdrive to give a slightly gnarlier sound. That then runs through an EQ just to take off the bottom end, because I've got a separate channel for the sub bass. And then a great thing about Native Instruments Core is that you can sort of have these sub patches, if you like, or you can or sub levels of processing. So it makes it very easy to split a sound and process it in a sort of parallel way. You know, parallel distortion or parallel processing is something that's very popular to get these fat bass sounds. So this is quite a sort of a simple instance of parallel processing here. What I've done to this sound is it comes into this little green circle, or this box here, and then it gets split into these two channels here. On the first one, I've simply got an EQ. I've used some quite harsh EQ on there. I'll often revisit the EQing on my bass sounds quite a lot, and you can see here there's another EQ going on up here on the main channel and another one on this channel. I'll come and revisit these EQs quite a lot as I'm producing the track, just to I'll hear a resonance or a sound, or I'll hear it's not quite mixing with the other bass sounds quite a lot. So that's generally why I end up with all these sort of funny EQ curves. So this bass sound is on one channel, it's just simply being EQ'd. On the other, it's going through an instance of Isotope Trash, which I use quite a lot. And on the Trash page, which is where you control the distortion on the sound, you can split it into a multi-band mode, which splits the sound into three bands. And I've muted out the lowest two bands, and just I've just got the highest band audible. From 7.5 kilohertz up. I might set this lower depending on the bass sound, depending on how it sounds. And then I'll pick a distortion from here, and then just distort the very high end of the bass. The distortion can add in sort of lower frequency artifacts. So I've used the post filter on a shallow slope here just to filter those out as well. And so essentially what this is doing is just adding some top-end gnarliness to the bass sound. And if I mute that out, you can just hear what that's doing there. And then combined with the other parallel channel, that gives a very aggressive sound. And you can see on the EQ on the other parallel channel, I've used the filter to take off the top end so that don't interfere. And then that's just running through another EQ where I've made some final adjustments. And then that's running through the sausage fattener, which I tend to use a lot on bass sounds, just to sort of get them at a consistent level. So I generally adjust the gain knob so it's just sort of flashing between green and red. Maybe turn the fatness up to about 8%, and then set the volume slider in core to a minus 11, and then that with the sub level, which it comes out at about minus 9, minus 10 dB or something like that. That sets the level for my basses, and I find that when I set the level of my kick drums at about minus 7, that the level of the bass sounds and the kick drum sounds and the snare drum sound, which I also aim for setting at about minus 7 dB as well, they all sort of come out at about the right level to sound, you know, nice and aggressive. So I've got other bass sounds as well, which I take the same approach with. It'll generally be a nice sounding waveform, either from FM8 or Massive or F Expansion's Cypher, which is part of the DCAM synth squad, and then some kind of filtering. And all three of those synths have dual filters, which can be really cool to get sort of growly sounds, because you can set the two different filters to different types, or to have slightly different cutoff settings, and then modulate them both, and that really helps. And then some kind of distortion, generally with guitar cabinets, and then EQing. So I'll go through that process on making my bass sounds, and then generally end up with a lot of bass sounds in one track, and they'll all run through a bass group. And on the bass group I have a multi-band compressor here. I'm just using the Cubase one, just to kind of keep all the levels in check, you know, to make sure that the levels in each band are quite consistent. But to give using a multi-band compressor, I find it a bit more transparent than using just a single band compressor. And then I'm also using the Cubase compressor here, just to duck it from the kick drum and snare drum. I've actually set up a separate pump track which feeds this compressor, which just has copies of the kick drum and snare drum on it here. There's no audio coming out, it's literally just to duck this track here, so I have more control over the ducking of the bass line. And then finally the bass lines as well, I'll generally send them to a bass reverb channel, and I start each session with the same bass reverb channel, which has first an EQ on it just to take the high end of the bass, and then a reverb afterwards, so that's EQ before the reverb, and generally quite a short reverb as well. And that's bass lines.